We begin with John's message from God dealing with sin and maintaining relationships. And verse 5 of our text in chapter 1 again, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." This then is the message is a claim to authority. This is not John's opinion or idea of about God. This is God's message about himself, which John now reveals to all. We can't be confident in our own opinions or ideas about God unless they are genuinely founded on what God has said about himself. We must begin our understanding with God here. John declares this on the simple understanding that God himself is light. And light, by the definition, has no darkness at all in it. For there to be darkness, there must be the absence of light. A good definition of God is the only infinite, eternal, and unchangeable spirit, the perfect being in whom all things begin and continue and end. And another way to say that God is perfect is to say that God is light. Adam Clark says, "Light is the purest, most subtle, the most useful, and the most diffusive of all of God's creatures. It is therefore a very proper emblem of the purity, perfection, and goodness of the divine nature. When things go wrong, it's not God's fault, because there is no sin or darkness in him at all." In verse 6, it is noted God's sinlessness in our relationship with him. Again, 1 John 1 in verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." John first deals with a false claim of fellowship. In 1 John 2 and verse 4, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So based upon this, we understand that it is possible for some to claim a relationship with God that they do not have. We can also say that it is possible for someone to think they have a relationship with God that they really do not have. Many Christians are not aware of their true condition. They believe they are saved and have experienced conversion and have repented of their sins and were baptized at some time in their life. And yet, they do not live in true fellowship with God. John speaks of a walk in darkness, indicating a pattern of living. This doesn't speak of an occasional sin or an occasional failure, but of a lifestyle of darkness. So what would be a good example of someone thinking he is in the light, but he's in the darkness? What about a person who has taken the steps into salvation? What about a person that hears the word and believes and repents? He confesses his sins and he is baptized. And yet, he becomes a member of a denominational organization, a member of a church that men built and not the church that Christ built, a church that believes in the doctrine of maybe once saved, always saved, a church that believes in maybe the sinner's prayer that is all that is needed and is necessary to obtain salvation. Maybe he became a member of a church that worships with instruments of music, or a church that uses more than one cup and more than one loaf. His worship is vain. Another example might be a brother in Christ that has ought against another brother. Until it is reconciled, one or both of them may walk in darkness. Matthew 5:23-24. "Therefore, if thou bring a gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee, Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. God has no darkness at all. If one claims to be in fellowship with God and yet walks in darkness, it is a lie, and the truth is not in them. The Bible clearly tells us of a way, a truth, and a life that is greater than an individual's idea about it. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In verse 7 of our text, there is the blessing of walking in the light. There, 1 John 1 and verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This means to walk in obedient life, without hiding sins or resisting the conviction of the Holy Spirit on a particular point or a particular matter. John's message here means that a walk in the light is possible. We know that on this side of eternity, sinless perfection is not possible. And yet, we can still walk in the light. So, what is John actually saying? Here he is saying to walk in the light, it means perfect obedience. The Christian life is described as walking. And as Christians, we pray that God will lead us into paths of righteousness, which implies activity. A Christian's life feeds on observation, on consideration, on thought, on reflection, and on meditation. But it displays its life, or the life that is lived, in action, in how we live and how we walk. Walking implies action, steadiness, and progress. Since God is active in walking, if we have fellowship with him, you will also be active in walking. Since God is light, when we walk in the light, we walk in his presence. We are naturally together with him in fellowship. When we walk in the light, we are not only in his presence, but it is clear that we are in fellowship with others who walk in the light also. This leads to a very important point. If we do not have fellowship with one another, then one party or both parties are not walking in the light. Two Christians who are in the right relationship with God will also be in the right relationship with one another. As we walk in the light, we also enjoy continual cleansing of our sins through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is another indication that John does not mean sinless perfection by this phrase, walk in the light. He means perfect obedience. Otherwise, there would be no sin to cleanse in this ongoing sense of walking in the light. In chapter 2, verse 7 through verse 11, it says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. The commandment John wrote was at the same time both old, in the sense that it was preached to the brethren in their whole Christian lives. 1 John 3 and verse 11 says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." It was also new, in the sense that it was called the new commandment by Jesus in John 13 and verse 34. There we read, and Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." So the new commandment to love that Jesus spoke of in John 13 and verse 34 was really new for several reasons. One of the most important reasons was that Jesus displayed a kind of love that had never been seen before, a love we are to imitate as brothers and sisters in Christ. The reference indicated that the cross points in four directions to show that the love of Jesus is wide enough to include every human being. It's long enough to last through all eternity. It's deep enough to reach the guiltiest sinner. And it is high enough to take us to heaven. This is a new love, a love the world has never really seen before the crucifixion of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining, the new commandment of love is necessary because of the darkness that marked humanity, especially the Gentiles. This was before the true light illuminated the finished work of Jesus Christ. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. John now examines us according to our love for our Christians, our love as far as Christians as a measure of our walk with God. Just as our relationship to sin and our obedience is a measure of our fellowship with God, the same is true of our love for the brethren. If we say that we are in the light, yet we hate our brother, then our claim to fellowship with God, who is in the light, or who is light, is worthless. But the one who does love his brother shows that he abides in the light and is not stumbling. Henry Alford said, "It seems plain that the expression here is not the same as his neighbor, seeing that John is writing to Christians and treating of their fellowship with one another. From time to time in the Lord's church there are disagreements, arguments, and differences among the brethren. Sometimes it's easy to think that following Jesus would be easy if it wasn't for some of the brothers and sisters that we come in contact with from time to time. Many Christians live as the walking wounded, crippled by the scars other Christians have inflicted upon them. And yet this measure still stands. If we can't love one another, then we have no way to claim real love for God. Our relationship with God is measured by our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness." The point is very clear. If there is no love, then you lose everything. There is nothing left. You can do all the right things, believe all that the Bible says and teaches, but if you do not love the brethren, then all is lost. Knowing the importance that Jesus placed on the love for one another, John will go so far as to say that if we hate our brother, we are walking in darkness and are unable to see. We have been blinded. Remember that hatred can also be expressed as indifference. True love will demonstrate itself for one another. We can be sure that John himself lived this life of love for the brethren. But he wasn't always this way. John himself had to learn to love just as others had to learn to love. Early in his life, he was known as one of the sons of thunder. He once wanted to call down fire from heaven upon those who rejected Jesus. Luke 9 and verse 54, there it says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? So John had to learn the love for the brethren just as everyone has to learn that love. In closing, this old yet new commandment is very important. If we're not keeping it, then we are still in darkness. If we are in darkness, we are not walking in the light. If we're not having fellowship with God and the blood of Jesus has not cleansed us from our sins, we cannot have that fullness of joy of which John wrote in 1 John 1 and verse 4, which is part of Brother Paul's lesson this morning. We close this lesson this afternoon with the warning that John wrote in 1 John 4, verse 7 and verse 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If there's one that is subject to the gospel call, or you are in need of the prayers of the church, we bid you come as we stand.